Well, we're going to go ahead and get started if I don't trip over cord or whatever. Those of you who've been part of True or World Changers, if we get to a point where you feel like there's an important story that fits where I'm at, jump in and tell the story, because actually that's more meaningful than all the details that I have. My name is Heather Fannin, and we started True Leadership in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Yes, I forgot I did fly-ins and stuff. I got fancy, and now I don't know how to do it. So 2011, we started True Leadership in South Dakota. It was based on real leadership, which was only for mainland Chinese students. And so we had five unsaved Chinese students that went with our intern and myself up to Estes Park and looked at what they were doing. And after less than the first 24 hours, we knew this is what we've been looking for. We'd been doing Chinese conferences, and our international students always complained, when are you gonna do something for us? And so we thought, this is it. This is what we're looking for. And so Andy and I started kind of brainstorming with the students that were there. If we did this in Rapid City, what would it look like? And they had great ideas, like the speakers need to be international. The speakers at the real conference were Americans. Their jokes ranged from not very good dad jokes to some were even offensive to certain cultures. So that was their input. We made note of that. And they had lots of good ideas. And then after the second day, we were at supper and they said, we've been staying up at night and talking about this and we have a question. Is part of the reason we're doing this is so people will want to think about Jesus? Now, these are all non-Christians. And it took me back and I said, well, you know, that's the heart of ISI. We love Jesus. We think the Bible is truth. And because we love you guys so much, yes, we want the students to think about Jesus. But we want this to be an actual leadership conference if they have no interest in that. And the ideas just begin to pour out of them. Not just leadership ideas, but ideas on how to interest the students in Jesus. And Andy and I were just like, this is the weirdest thing. I mean, our five top consultants are not Christians. But one by one over the years, we saw them all come to Christ. Not necessarily just through True, but True made a big impact. So they came to the first one. In fact, they helped us plan the first one. And then the Rapid City team obviously was very involved. We've had conferences in South Dakota, North Carolina, California, Pennsylvania, Oregon, Florida, as well as the UK and Bangalore, India. The reason this model will work almost anywhere in the world is because it really is a leadership conference. So you can advertise that and it's totally legit. And so in Bangalore, you guys know the persecution in India is ramping up. And so the team in Bangalore were super excited. We went over there and trained their team and we were excited. I didn't get to go, but just amazing. So theoretically, this will work anywhere in the world because of the way it's designed. The pandemic didn't stop us. And I say us, I should say them. Leon's team, the directors were all on a call and we were, what do? We can't do live. Do we just shut it down? And for some of the teams, the answer was yes, because, you know, their whole city was on lockdown and they were trying to figure out local ministry. But Leon said, let me run this past my team. And he's got some crazy team members who said yes. And they designed this online conference, and there are components to it that I like better than the in-person. And so my job in this next year is to figure out if there's any possible way to integrate some of that without overwhelming the in-person conference. So God was faithful, and the West Coast team was faithful, and it was blew us away. How many So it wasn't just in the U.S. How many overseas students did you have participate?
Five-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, they'd get up in the middle of the night.
Definitely difficult with the time difference.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, they couldn't join the whole time, but, you know, yeah, even just partial.
Yeah. So we're kind of, I'm trying to get the in-persons restarted in the different areas, but in the back of my mind, and I think in the back of the Damon's mind definitely, we're trying to figure out, so now we know how to do this online, what do we do with that information, and do we use it with returnees? I don't know. So we'll just see. I'm sure when God's ready, he'll show us. So we're going to talk about the two different conferences, and the big staff question is, how are they different? So I want to talk about that. TRU is an access event. It's not a Christian camp. There's no out front evangelism. And when they leave, if they've had no spiritual interest all week, we want them to leave with leadership skills. Because as I look at the world news and I see the corruption, even here, I think we need leaders who understand morals and ethics and fight against corruption and those sorts of things. So, you know, God, not everybody accepts Christ, but God still uses some of those people to impact their cultures in positive ways. So who's it for? Who should you bring? I was talking with John about this. One of the groups we really were looking for something to stir spiritual things in them is the ones who in our local ministries have zero spiritual interest. And so we looked at some of the structure of it, and we designed things specifically for them. And what we found was this became a greenhouse. I can't explain it. I took sociology, and I don't know. Somebody should do a PhD on this. But why does it take students who have zero spiritual interest, and at the end of TRU, many of them are interested in spiritual discussion groups, meeting one-on-one, going to Bible study, and so it stirs something in their hearts. Not everyone, but many, many. And the other piece that was missing in our local ministry is, how do we give Christian students some serious training and exposure to hands-on working with other cultures and knowing how to hear God's voice and lead discussions toward the spiritual? And so we had lots of ideas on how these students should be trained, but the one thing that God kept laying on my heart is, teach them how to hear my voice. I'll train them. Now, we don't dismiss all the other trainings on communication and things like that, but the bulk of the training that leads up to them going to TRU as coaches is on hearing the voice of God and following his lead. So that's recruit your Christian students. And I'll talk more about which Christian students in just a bit. So world changers, not for non-Christian students, please. These are for mature Christian international students, most of whom are going to be going home or staying here and going to another city fairly soon, within the next year or two. And so we want to give them, who's it for? I'm jumping ahead of my presentation. So it's for your believing students who you want to have in-depth training on how to lead spiritually. And one thing, Sarah was on this team, is the one thing that we came up over and over again as we discussed who we were looking for is teachable, teachable, teachable. We had a student in our ministry, mature Christian, had done some things in his church back home, but man, he was so full of pride. He was hard to have discussions with because he knows, already knows it all. God bless Kevin. He's meeting with him one-on-one and seeing progress. But we didn't refer him for last year. And so we're hoping that he will, God will be teaching him some humility, and he'll be ready to participate in the life groups and things and learn from the others on his team and learn from the speakers. So mature Christians who are teachable. The other component we added is it's for staff too. So please don't send your students, please bring them. Or if you have someone on your team, the person we're looking for is whoever's discipling or mentoring that student, because we're gonna do some training. Nate Mirza and Rich Mandola are gonna do the staff track. And they're gonna do some training with the staff on discipling and releasing students into spiritual leadership. What we found a lot of times with the true coaches and what we were concerned about with the World Changer students is we give them all these experiences. They're excited that God can use them. They go back to their local ministry, and their leadership position is setting up chairs and tables and cleaning up afterwards. And everything's led by Americans. So what we're saying to them non-verbally is, only Americans can lead spiritually. So that hits me hard. We've seen that be an issue among our team. We have pastors come and say, I'd like to volunteer and teach a class. And we're like, how would you like to come set up chairs and wipe off tables? Most of them don't take us up on it. So our desire is to see these students, the true leadership coaches, and these students, then go back into their local ministry and be given spiritual leadership. Now, I'm not saying toss them in head first and hope they swim. What we do with ours is if they're leading a group on Friday night, then we meet with them earlier in the week. And we have multiple ones on our team that are great at this. And so they meet with them, they go over, you know, what are you covering? What are your discussion questions? You know, are there tricky situations going on in your group? How can I pray? And whoever's doing the one-on-one has a list of who's been attending, praying over each of those. And so so there's a lot of mentoring that goes on with the releasing. But we don't, unless it's somebody new who begs us, we don't sit in on those groups. If it's somebody who's super nervous, they've never led a group in any context, then we might for the first few weeks with the understanding, we know you can do this. So I'll send in for a week or two, but this is your class. So giving them ownership. Any questions so far? Okay. So how many of you seen this? You know, most of us old timers, right? This really helped me when we came into ISI. We had students who weren't coming to Christ. And so from my background, you know, evangelism is the end goal, right? And so we were failing. And then I think it was Terry Kroll showed this. And one of our students, he had no concept of a divine being at all. Communist Chinese, wasn't ever even allowed to think about it. Another one was a Buddhist. So he, you know, he believed there was a God, but, you know, Buddhist. And so then as I looked at this chart, I realized that the student who had no belief at all now believed there was a creator God. He just didn't know who he was. And our Buddhist said to Kevin, I made a vow to Buddha, and if I ever feel like I'm released from that, I'm going to follow Jesus. So then Kevin started having discussions on that. So this really helped me. And I want to show you, wherever your students are, where the best place to plug them in to these conferences is.
Can everyone see? I wonder if a light, if we turn a light on.
Yeah, if these.
The size of the
I'm sorry.
You don't have touch screen, do you?
Your husband wrote the scale, so do you remember it
or,
from?
You know, they're
Debbie, didn't Dean?
We can move up. We can actually, we don't have to stay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was Dean and Howard Killian that adapted this scale for ISI.
From Ingalls.
From the Ingalls scale. Yeah,
scale.
But Dean and Howard adapted it. So if you have students who zero spiritual interest, no knowledge of God, they haven't connected in any of your spiritual discussions, not interested in one-on-one, again, bring them to True and see what God does. This is not a, I don't do 100% guarantees or anything like that. That's on God. But that's where we see him work. And then bring us your new believers, your, you know, babies in the faith. They're growing, but they've never led spiritually. And what we'll do is every life group has two coaches. They have a coach who's somewhere in here and needs some mentoring. And then bring us your really mature students. But you want them to experience this cross-cultural, hearing the voice of God and leading these people toward Jesus. And so we match them. And a lot of times we see the ones who come in here, a year or two later, they come back and they're the lead coach. Now, we don't call it junior coach, lead coach, anything like that. But that's the way we match them.
And again, this is for True.
This is True.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to ignore these students, but I have to be honest with you. We didn't design True specifically for these students, because if you have students with spiritual interest and, you know, they may even be close to coming to Christ, there are lots of places we can take them, right? But please don't leave them at home. because we do see lots of cool things happen. So I keep saying access event, keep telling you this is not evangelistic. But the cool part is, lots of the teams have seen students, even on the way home, accept Christ. We had a staff member, I won't name them, but they left one of the Trues and said, I don't know, I'm still skeptical, Heather, we'll see what God does with this, but I don't know, this is a lot of money, a lot of time, we'll see. And at the rest area, halfway home, one of their Chinese students led another Chinese student to Christ at the rest area. So cool things like that. We've had, the Denver team had a ministry to the Language Institute, specifically with Muslims. And we had a young group of Saudi guys come. And one of them asked for a Bible. And we have those things there incognito if somebody asks. And so we had an Arabic Bible. And so his leader gave it to him, and he openly read it all the way back to Denver in front of the other Muslim students. And so, you know, that staff really invested in them. And I don't know what happened, because she had a baby. That's the theme of these teams. but yeah, so that's True. Basically, all your students will have a place and fit and see spiritual growth, hopefully. A lot of it is how you do the follow-up. We do a survey at the end of True, and we ask the students, are you interested in talking to anybody? I forget how it's worded, because Kevin did the original form, but are you interested in studying the Bible? Are you interested in talking about to somebody about spiritual things? And then the staff knows who to follow up with.
Can I add something real quick?
Yes, please.
There are also things that they're going to gain that aren't directly spiritual at all. Spiritual is part of it. It's one of the components. But there's also, how do they operate as a team? How do they grow professionally and just with values of being a quality manager rather than a boss, for example? There's one that our first speaker that I mentioned the other day, Belwar Huligdon from Mongolia, and the head of the Asian Leadership Development Network. And he just casually, kind of on one of the slides, said, look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others, right? But that doesn't preach Jesus. But my goodness, the value of the word is getting in there. And the ways that these students are growing, they're all going to be affected in a lot of the same ways, right? To grow in leadership and grow in how do you trust another person on your team, and how do you learn from another one on your team and listen.
Yeah.
A lot of value.
The cross-cultural piece, too. So we do ask, what's your home country, male or female, what's your religion? And the reason we ask the religion is we want to get a mix. And the countries, all the life groups are as diverse as we can get them, because what we tell the students, and we really mean this, is when you graduate, you're going to work on diverse teams. You need to know how to honor each other. And so almost every conference we have at least one Muslim female. So that life group has to figure out how to do those physical challenges, especially that first day during trust, without violating her religious beliefs. So we have women and men on the team. So if you're going through the spider web, how do you get her through the spider web without the men touching her? And we've had the Muslim women see, this is the first time I felt so respected. You know, my team asked me what I needed, and they figured out how to do that. It's been a little tricky because if Muslim couples come, we don't put couples on the same team, and that's why. And so we've had to explain and separate them so that that woman can learn to lead in her cultural context. So there's so many moving pieces to this. And we keep polishing, we keep, you know, figuring it out, we keep trying to, you know, overcome the hiccups. So, totally different, well, not totally different, but the world changers, this is who we want for the world changers. We want your mature students who need in-depth training. Again, teachable students. So, that's why we came up with a whole different process. With True, get on the website, sign up, come. But with world changers, you have to be referred by staff, either ISI staff, or I think we're going to open it a little broader to ISM. Volunteers. And maybe other this year, I think. Last year, it was our first go at this new model, and so we ISI only, but I think we're opening it up. But they have to be referred. Then those references go to a committee. The committee looks it over, calls the staff member if they have any questions, and then sends the application to the students, and the students have to go through an application process. And again, then if there's questions, the team calls the student and asks. But basically, the staff did a stellar job with sending references. I don't think the only one we rejected, and it wasn't a true rejection, is somebody wanted an American student to come. And we said, American students have all sorts of places to go. And they said, well, they're interning with our team. And I said, bring them as staff, put them through the staff training. And so that's what we did for that.
I think it does help just with the referral and the student applications. Referrals, it just makes it easier to say yes to so many people because people really thought through this and like who they want to come. So
it was really kind of fun. I was on the, I don't think I'll be on the committee this time, but I was last time. And you look at these and go, I can't wait to meet her. Oh my gosh. Have you seen his story? Look at this. You know, so it was just, you know, the reference of a world changer. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. So I talked about the component of the staff training. This is what we do. We have this. Are you familiar with the seven spheres of influence? So theoretically, again, sociologically, there are seven spheres of influence that change a culture. I never can remember all seven. But it's government and science and technology, education, family. Gary's going to have my back here. Religion, business, arts and entertainment.
Woo!
And so we have a speaker who's top in their field and is using their profession to impact the kingdom.
Who's international.
And so some of them are ISI alumni, and we didn't realize when we did that last time, because that speaks to the staff, that motivates us to invest more into the students, but it really impacted the students. They were like, oh my goodness, she was where I am now. I can be her, or I can be him. So we've, this next year, we've got some alumni coming in as speakers too. Clement Mutombo is gonna be the speaker in government. He's worked for the UN, and now I've forgotten where he works now, World Bank. And passion for the Lord, and he's an ISI student alum, so yeah. Then we also have tracks. Last year I had three tracks, a discipleship, and they'll spend 2 hours a day for 4 hours in these tracks. So discipleship track, they'll see two different models. Church planting, we're not calling it that. We're calling it something else because that freaked the students out. But this will basically be how to start your own small group or house church, with, you know, our understanding that that becomes church planting. But it doesn't scare the students as much. And again, they'll see two different models. And I think we're waiting for the second yes, but I think these are both ISI alum that are gonna be doing these models. And then ethnomusicology, the students who are gifted in leading musical worship, they'll be trained to lead in their own cultural context instead of just translating our music into their language. And we had two or three songs come out of that track in just 8 hours. Well, they hung out at night long after I was in bed. So Stephanie Haddock from Puerto Rico led this last year. And this year, I can't announce officially, but she works for Wycliffe Institute. It's got a different name now, but she's been seconded to Rich Mandola's ministry. And she's looking at all her materials and getting everything lined up. She's Taiwanese. But she was, the conversation with her, she was so excited. So we're waiting for a definite, but she's, I think she will be. And then we're offering a fourth. Last year what happened, and we didn't really see it coming, is 10 or 12 of the students, God gave them a vision for starting a nonprofit in their own countries to impact their culture for the kingdom. And so Pat Kriska, she's been a professor at SMU for 32 years. She's designed a track, and so we'll offer a fourth track for the students. This will get them started. They won't be ready to launch, but it'll get them started, and I'll explain what we're doing with that later. And then there's a follow-up program for both the staff and students, for the staff or whoever on your team is discipling these students. There'll be follow-up that they can join in. And the students kind of, some of them just kept going on their own. Their life groups kept meeting and kept praying for each other. And the students from Rapid City would say, hey, did you know so-and-so's going through this? And no, how did you know that? Oh, we meet every week. So will you pray for that? I was like, you meet every week? Okay. So they stay connected and encourage each other. So this year, I forgot to amend that. It's not Divide Colorado. I'm sorry, ignore this. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So this was last year. We had it in Divide Colorado, 45 students from 27 countries, 24 staff MNREPS volunteers. Every student was matched with a mentor, and our follow-up coordinator checked in on that to see how that was going and if that mentorship was continuing. And then we did big follow-up events where we'd all meet on Zoom together, and then the life groups would branch off, and the staff would stay together, and we'd talk through what he's struggling with, what's working, any ideas to help each other. And so that was World Changers 2023, save the date. So it'll be in Mission Springs Camp in Santa Cruz County, California. It's 30 minutes from the San Jose Airport. We chose this because the San Jose Airport has a lot of the budget airlines that fly in and out of there, and so the flights aren't bad. And then it's over Christmas break. We're trying to do all the trues in May and June, and then we're do the World Changers at Christmas, so we're not competing.
And that's this.
That's
not
this
next,
year.
Not 2023.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it crosses
into it. It's going into
it.
2023.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
This is this year. My bad.
This December.
Don't read my slide. Read Sarah's stuff on the national site.
6 months from now.
Yes, right. Thank you. Nobody caught that in the management training, including me. It's $350 a person. This is less than half the actual cost. So the team is raising funds. Home Office is invested big in this. They found a foundation who has a heart for it. So hopefully each local staff will then be able to raise that money to bring themselves and their students. And then the team will raise the other part. So, the Christian entrepreneurship, that 8 hours will help them sit down and think through specifics of how God's leading them, what he's showing them for their nonprofit. It will not give them the ability yet to present to donors, to figure out the ethical ramifications. Do we pay bribes or don't we pay bribes to get the licensing we need? You know, what about legal issues? So Pat and Judy Becker and I, and hopefully we're going to pull in Buller Who, have come up with a four full-day conference that will probably be mid-July, first week of August, before all your new students arrive. And again, staff don't have to come to this. We're gonna keep it smaller. The first one will be between 10 and 20 students. Hopefully the ones who've been through the two previous World Changers. And Pat is bringing in, she's got so many connections, most of them are coming in for free. So we're gonna look at a budget and hopefully it'll be much lower, probably Dallas, Texas. But we'll have international lawyers. We'll have people who can help them put together a solid presentation and somebody to show them how to stand up in front of a group and give it. And so the very last afternoon of the conference, they will stand up and present their plan, and hopefully we'll have donors in the room. We want to match them with entrepreneurs, hopefully mostly international entrepreneurs, who will mentor them. So we'll have entrepreneurs come in, have meals with them, spend a day or two, and just pray over who God would match them with. And then they'll escort them through this process. So that's why we want to keep it small. And we'll see what God does in the future. But in the beginning, we want this to be small so that, again, every student walks out of there with a professional mentor who's doing this for the kingdom in his country, her country. Any questions? Yes, sir.
What's the next true conference?
Okay, Leon. Actually, we're working on multiple ones. It looks like we're putting together a good team in the Northeast. That's not definite. We have the camp reserved. We don't have a director. But there's some great stuff percolating. We have other members of the team that already signed on. So that will be the end of May in Pennsylvania. And then the California team, the West Coast team, I gotta stop doing that, offending the rest of the coast.
West Coast.
That's right. The West Coast team. Just finished a true, so I don't, I, we'll ask them in a few weeks after they've slept.
We've never had them sort of scheduled in the summer as opposed to at the end of the college academic year. I've got a friend who's 29 years old from Senegal, and he's visited the university, has not yet made an application. He's interested in doing a lot of stuff, but he teaches until the last day of May.
So I just talked with a staff member who said, hey, what if we did something for quarter students in June? And I said, hey, that would be awesome. So I can't say more than that because I don't want to for it to get through the ISI grapevine, which travels quite fast.
At least it's impossible.
But we are, and this is something this team has talked about too, is that's been a struggle for the whole West Coast, well, for the whole United States, is about half of us are on semesters and half of us are on the quarter system, and none of the quarter systems align. I mean, the quarter system school in Rapid City starts on January 2nd and they're done at the end of April. But then other quarter systems start mid to end of January and aren't done till first part of June. So it's been a struggle, and we're still working it, talking it through.
I've got a couple more questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry, I don't know your name, and I should.
My name's John Weir.
You look
St. Louis.
Yes, I've met you, and I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, how tight of a definition are we going to have for international students? I have a friend who was an international student, has worked here more than a decade. Last year got her green card. She's a Christian, but she needs more clarity and, you know, leadership and a vision for ministry as opposed to just driving for Uber.
Yeah.
So
didn't we have somebody that was 40?
That are non-students,
yeah,
but fit the profile otherwise to attend?
You know, if they're ISI alumni, we do. Somebody asked me if, can I bring in refugees? Can I bring, you know, and that's different.
Right.
And so, but if they were an international student, they were part of your ministry. We had somebody that was 40 that came, and she came as a coach. She was lovely. She just did a great job. And she had the maturity. We put her in the life group with PhD students. And you know, she didn't say her age, but they knew she wasn't a kid.
I've got another question.
Yeah.
Okay, for world changers, what about former international students that have graduated, but they've applied for or received a green card and don't expect to return to their home country?
Yeah, so the original world changers was you had to be going home within a year. And so you had to be close to graduating, you had to definitely be going home. But as the original team talked, that would discount Abraham Sarker. He wouldn't have been allowed to come to World Changers, and he's a world changer. So we broadened that. You know, if it's somebody who's been out a long time, we really want to give the students the advantage. Somebody who's been out 10 or 15 years or whatever may have some other options, especially if they've been here. But if they're recent alums and they're staying here, they still are interacting with their community here, their culture here, and impacting their country. So
it's worth a referral.
It is.
Yeah.
Do they have the mindset of, you know, like changing the world? Honestly, both here and there, from wherever they came from. Just because you're citizen here doesn't mean you can't have an impact in your home country.
Yeah, which is why we broadened it.
Entrepreneurship kind of concept and you know, things like that. That's definitely a way to train them to think about giving back to the people of their country.
And I think that's a piece of it, is a lot of the students love the Lord and they want to serve in the local church or the local ISA ministry, but they don't realize that we're commanded to impact the world for the kingdom. We're, you know, that's our call. And so we were surprised, especially with one of our girls, because I thought she got it. And I had a conversation with her toward the end, and she goes, I just never even thought of it. And I said, I thought, all the conversations and the things we have, and she didn't take it personally. But world changers, you can't really go through the whole conference and not take it personally. And so she went home at Christmas, and her dad went to a village that gets overrun with rebels all the time in DR Congo, and they started laying the foundation to start an orphanage. You know, so she took it personally. So hopefully we'll get her to the other conference and get her some training. So that was a long way to say yes. Send in the referral.
Well, I think of Perla, who's here. She's like, she just got her R1 visa approval to be on staff with ISA, and she was at the last World Changers.
As a student.
As a student. So she was a student from Mexico. She is staying in the U.S. to work for ISA, and she will be a World Changer.
And now Perla is on the core team for this year.
Yeah.
Because we want to hear from a very recent student. Mm-hmm. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? So
she's going to share her story tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
The question, you mentioned that the true leadership is not for refugees, and we're seeing more of those sometimes than students, and some of them are, you know, well, a medical doctor or, you know, other leadership roles in their country, but here they're having to do housekeeping in hotels until they can get all the stuff.
Paperwork done.
So they would not be welcome at a true leadership, or?
So this is where I need to, at some point, Sarah, I need to meet with your team and we need to hash this through. So my first question about that was, will you take refugees? Because apparently one of the staff members' wife worked with refugees. And so I explained it's really for students and, you know, the educational level makes a difference and that sort of thing. And he said, well, I'm working with some refugees who are going to college. And I said, okay, so their visa's not an F1, but they're still an international student. Yeah, right. And so, yeah. So we, like in Rapid City, we've had multiple Sudanese lost boys. They came in on asylum. They weren't F1s, but they're international students. So that's kind of what the team would look through as the reference, and just see if it's a fit for what we're doing.
So two things, if I can, because we're just sort of working with Afghan refugees also. There's got to be a strong language proficiency when it's there in true.
And we ask that.
Very high level of academia to be able to sit through, say, a half hour, 40-minute talk. It's pretty intensive, right? So some of our
plus the tracks that are 2 hours each day, yeah.
Yes. Some of our refugees are like that Heather just mentioned. They're going to be starting college with IT, doing coding. Another one in psychology, absolutely, right? Other ones that are barely able to say hi,
I honestly don't see any difference between our 40-year-old from Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's true.
And a refugee. Honestly, I mean, this word refugee.
If their English level,
if they're in a sense, really. It's an international that's coming from another country to America to find, rest or peace or, safety or whatever it is.
But again, English proficiency.
Sure.
And, academically, can they keep up with the training?
Right.
So those would be the caveats. And I know as we move forward with this, we're going to have to figure some of that out more precisely. I do know that Home Office really has a hard boundary with those of us who are staff, that we be working predominantly with international students and scholars. And some staff have gotten a heart for recent refugees who have come from war-torn areas or whatever, And usually they're encouraged to then switch to a ministry that works with refugees because of our honoring our donors' wishes and that sort of thing. So that's something I have to wrestle through with home office.
So I work with ISI.
Yeah.
But I'm also ordained to work with another organization, as an associate minister with Making Clear Ministries. They allow me to work either on my own or with any individual or any other Christian organization anywhere in the world. As long as you make it clear, it's salvation by grace or faith, totally apart from works, just by trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. But he calls us to get involved in the family work of sharing the gospel with everybody else. So for the refugees in our neighborhood, in St. Louis, we have, a refugee organization right there in the city of St. Louis. And I work with an international school that teaches in three languages and local churches. So between the refugee organization and the schools and the churches, we're able to work with them, to get them support. But ISI says we've got one target, is the international students on an American school campus, and that's it. So I have to divide, the work with ISI from everything else that's gospel related.
Right.
Ministry. But it can't be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So other questions? I have our first draft of the World Changers video. We haven't tweaked it yet, but anything else you want to ask? If we have most of our speakers and track leaders, we have a couple holes right now, but if you can think of internationals who will fit as speakers in the Seven Spheres or as track leaders, please send me those names. We're trying to build a really solid database. With CHU, we try to rotate our speakers every third year so that students aren't hearing the same people every year. That's a little more challenging with World Changers because we have so many speakers and track leaders, but I think we're only repeating two.
Yeah, and I think World Changers is more so like a one-time conference maybe for a student. Like, they wouldn't go every year to World Changers.
It's somewhat similar to CHU.
Yeah, well, when we did it in the Black Hills, we had students who came like 3 or 4 years in a row. It's like, yeah.
It's a lot harder to not repeat teachers.
Yeah, yeah. So please keep that in mind as people come to mind. We'd love to have those resources. So, all right, anything else? So I'm going to warn you, the sound on this is, it's a work in progress, so it comes on loud and ends loud. Yeah.
World Changers is truly an impactful event where you will definitely be encouraged by your peers as well as by the leaders there. And you will really come out and be passionate about ministry and really wanting to go out and live a true, filled Christian life.
So World Changers was like a great platform for me to see why and also see how can I continue to reach out to the lost.
World Changers really taught me that being a Christian really is about going out and making more disciple makers. After World Changers conference, I feel like a different person because I feel like I can't live without a good Christian community. And that's why I started joining my college ministry. Just being with people who are my age really is encouraging.
We really had a good time together just within 1 week. And then afterwards, we had a pretty good relationship and constantly encouraged. And then it really helped us to see how we can use our gifts and also our call to go on missions and also to help out those couples.
So that's the first draft of the promo.
That's a draft.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sarah Hafferty. Well, thank you so much. And I'm easy to get a hold of. Email me or text me. My laptop did die. This is Kevin, so give me a week to get a new laptop. I ordered it, but it's not in. So that's been interesting to put all this together. Yeah, Kevin's very creative, so thank you so much.